Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Helder, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, you can dial in at 319-527-6204 at 7 p.m. and you can join our lesson and see what the writer is conveying in his message. Amen. And you can also call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision, and I pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I'd like to invite the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. Amen? Praise be to God. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come your glory, God.
Amen. Praise be to God. To God be the glory. Amen. So, again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. Amen. Praise God. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, you are the essential and being of God. You represent him and reflect him in so many ways. We lift you up in praise. Excuse me. In praise. And we worship your beautiful holiness. We kneel before you, Holy Spirit, and lift up our hands to you, proclaiming all who will hear that we belong to you and that we honor you with our thoughts, words, and actions. All that we are, we give to you, all of us, loves all of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God.
You don't know.
Dear Lord, we lift our voices to worship you and only you. You are worthy of our heartfelt praise for all you do to heal and restore our life. Your love is the healing balm to all's life. Disappointments, fill us with your words of comfort and healing that we might be an instrument of your love to all those we meet. Let your warmth flow to us so that others see your goodness through us. Thank you for this beautiful new day. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
Come on, everybody, open your mouth and worship the Lord. He's worthy of the glory. He deserves the praise today. Come on, everybody, all over the room, open your mouth and worship him. Lift your hands and bless him in this place. Simple song.
Yeah. to you. Can we lift our hands together one time? My hallelujah belongs to you. Everybody, come on and come to the table.
Holy Spirit, be gracious to us according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion. Blot out our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquity and cleanse us from our sin. For we know our transgressions. And we sin, and our sin is ever before us. Against you and you only we have sinned and done what is evil in your sight. You are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Amen. Amen and amen. Praise be to God.
Wonder the kind of clothes that he would wear. Is he tall or is he short? Does he like jazz or contact sports? And what would be his favorite TV show? Sometimes I wonder what he'd drive, or would he go green and ride a bike? These are all the questions I would want to know. What would he do to pass the day? Does he like to read? Does he like to play? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? If Jesus walked the earth today, sometimes I wonder what he'd say. Would he lend a hand to help his fellow man? Would he prioritize his day to get down on his knees and pray? Simply tell the Father thank you. And even with the 9-to-5, would it keep him from the house of God? 'Cause he's trying hard to gain a little more. Would he be afraid or too uptight, or just ashamed to share his life? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Looks like you, he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like,
just like you. So what will Jesus do? Listen, you're the only Jesus some will ever see. You're the only words of life some will ever read. So let them see in you the one in whom is all they'll ever need. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you.
Devotional message, amen, which is entitled Wait for Him. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Psalms chapter 27 verse 14, and it says, wait for the Lord, be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Amen. Praise be to God. Today, you may be thinking, I just don't know if I really have confidence that God will help me. I feel like I need an answer right now. I understand feeling this way. However, I would point out that there are many aspects of your life that you entrust to others. You trust doctors with your health, financial advisors with your retirement, an accountant with your taxes, and you will wait until they finish their work. No matter how skilled and trustworthy these experts are, is not God even more so? It's crucial for you to grasp how reliable the Father is to lead you, because you are making your choices based on what you believe about him. Though it's true that sometimes the people you count on will let you down or make judgment without all the facts, the Lord never will. God does not cheat, fail, or forsake you as others might. Rather, if he is delaying on giving you an answer, it is for a worthy reason. That is for your ultimate good. So as today's verse says, wait for him. Listen for his answer. Do not despair. God will answer in his perfect time, in a manner that will genuinely bless you. Amen. To God be the glory. Jesus, we wait for you, trusting in your perfect timing and plan. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is our devotional message for this evening. I pray that it blessed your soul as well as it blessed mine. Amen. So at this time, I will continue playing our inspirational music and praying. Praise God.
You thought I was a devil.
Amen. Holy Spirit, thank you for the closeness of your presence. Thank you for your whispering voice when we're in danger. Thank you for convicting us of sin before we commit it. Thank you for guiding us with wisdom. Thank you for being the everlasting Holy Spirit and for always being there when we need you the most. Our heart gives you the gratitude that comes with knowing how important you truly are to us. Receive the thanksgiving we offer you with pleasure, and may it bring you joy and delight. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
Let's all hold hands, 'cause he is worthy to be praised.
Let's
Holy Spirit, Lord God, create in us a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit within us. Do not cast us away from your presence, and do not take the Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation and sustain us with a willing spirit. Then we will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be turned to you. Open our lips that our mouth may declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or we would bring it. You are not pleased with the burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire from us are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. By your favor, do good to us, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here to conduct our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. You can also call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. To God be the glory.
Withholding nothing.
Come on, you say.
I surrender all to you.
withholding nothing, withholding
gotta say. You can't be breaking down and falling out. You gon' break out your craft. Break out your word. You gon' break out the praise. Last time, when somebody clap your hands, this a wrap. That's all you got, that's all you got.
Praise be to God. Lord, my rock, your word says that when the righteous cry out, you hear and deliver them. I praise you because you are my rock. When I'm in distress, you are a God of great compassion, mercy, and grace. Your heart overflows with abundant love. A love that shields me when I am in need. You are my rock and my fortress, my strong deliverer. You are high and lifted up on the mountain of peace. Holy are you, my Lord, my rock, as you show your strength to those in need. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. And while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening, I will play another selection. Amen. Praise God.
Victory. I can't talk right now.
Amen. Praise be to God. And now it is time for our lesson this evening in basic theology with our very own Barbara A. Amore, who's going to conduct our lesson. So we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this evening?
Thank you. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you doing?
I won't complain. Let's just put it that way. I will not complain, but praise be to God. I am here tonight, and he saw fit to wake me up this morning.
Amen. Glory to God. Anyone else on with us?
No.
Sounded good to hear that song again. It's been a long time.
Oh, the song, yes. I played it for the end of the sweet hour of prayer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We have an opening prayer now.
Okay.
Precious in heaven, Father. Once more and again, we thank you for allowing us the opportunity to come together once more in your sweet and precious name. Lord God, we thank you for allowing us to study your word so that we can get a better understanding of who you are. We know we'll never know totally all the attributes of you, all the goodness of you, all the your mind, your soul. We will never know all of that. But for the grandeur of what you do share with us, Lord, we thank you. We thank you so very much. God, if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for waking us up and starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, allowing us to see a new day that we've never seen before. God, bless our families, those that are close, those that are far away. Bless those who are locked up, Lord God, in their minds, in their hearts, in their souls, in their spirits, Father God. Give them a way of escape, and I pray that they will even seek that as they seek your face, Lord God. You can make a way. I know you're able. I know you can. And if it be thy will, I know you will. So, Lord, we thank you for those that are on the line. We thank you for those who are going to join us, for those who can only join us in thought and not physically come to the study this evening. So we love you. Can't live without you. Forgive us of our sins, those of omission and commission. Just thank you, God. You are so, so magnificent. All these blessings I ask in the matchless name of your son, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
With our lesson for tonight, we're talking about Christ's teaching concerning sin. So we know that he taught a lot about sin. Amen?
Amen.
He taught a lot about sin. And we should know what it is to sin, all right,
mm-hmm.
and what it is to follow his commandments and to do the right thing. So we're going to pick up where we left off, which is on page 246, blasphemy, coming from Matthew 12:22-37. And it reads, by ascribing the miracles of Christ to the power of Satan, the Pharisees were blaspheming. However, they could right the situation by a correct confession of Christ, verses 33-37. See page 405-7 for a fuller discussion of this. So what does that mean to you, if anything?
The Pharisees did not believe that Christ was the Son of God. And they thought that the miracles that he was performing was from Satan. So they were blaspheming against God in that way.
Amen. Got it. Wonderful. Let's take a look at Matthew 12:22-36.
Okay, 22-37. Yes, 22. Okay. Then a demon-possessed man who was blind and could not speak was brought to Jesus. He healed the man so that he could both speak and see. The crowd was amazed and asked, could it be that Jesus is the son of David, the Messiah? But when the Pharisees heard about the miracle, they said, no wonder he can cast out demons. He gets his power from Satan, the prince of demons. Jesus knew their thoughts and replied, any kingdom divided by civil war is doomed. A town or family splintered by feuding will fall apart. And if Satan is casting out Satan, he is divided and fighting against himself. His own kingdom will not survive. And if I am empowered by Satan, what about your own exorcists? They cast out demons too. So they will condemn you for what you have said. But if I am casting out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. For who is powerful enough to entertain the house, to enter the house of a strong man like Satan and plunder his goods? Only someone even stronger, someone who could tie him up and then plunder his house. Anyone who isn't with me opposes me. And anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me. So I tell you, every sin and blaspheme can be forgiven except blaspheming against the Holy Spirit, which will never be forgiven. Anyone who speaks against the Son of Man can be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven, either in this world or in the world to come. A tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. You brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. Amen. So we got to be very careful of what we speak from our mouth.
Hallelujah.
Praise
Hallelujah.
Be to God.
Thank you. Thank you for that. So anything you want to share about what you just read?
Well, he was telling them that, you know, they are saying that he's from Satan because he was casting out the demons, but then he's saying to them, how can a demon cast out demons? Because you know, they wouldn't cast the demons out because the demons already belongs to Satan. And then, you know, if you blaspheme against the man, you can be forgiven. But if you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, you will never be forgiven. In this world or the next.
That's it. So we have to watch what we say out of our mouths.
Amen.
And even what we think.
That's right.
The scripture says, so as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he.
Yep.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, that was
We're going to go into part E, transgressing the law. Mm-hmm. Matthew 15:3-6.
Okay.
To avoid having to care for aged parents, the scribes devised a way to dedicate the money that would have been used for that purpose to the temple, eventually to receive it back. This, the Lord said, was a direct violation of the commandment to honor parents. What do you think about that?
So, in other words, he's saying that in the commandments it says to honor thy father and mother. It didn't say when he say honor, that means that we're supposed to respect them. When they get up in age and they can't do for themselves, we ought to take care
all
of them.
All along, not just when they get old, when they're young.
Going up into age. So, yes,
always
we're supposed to. Yes.
They had a ruling that if you say that you can't support your, because they had a thing called Corbin. If you can't support your parents because you want to give to the church or to the temple instead of to your parents, you're not obligated to do that for your parents. So you can choose to give to your temple instead. Amen?
Amen.
This is what they were saying. So they were transgressing the law because the law said you're supposed to honor your parents, as you already said. Amen?
Right.
Take care of them. When they're not able to work anymore, when they can't take care of themselves. And
right.
They still need caring, all right?
Yes.
So let's take a look at Matthew 15, verses 3-6.
Okay. Jesus replied, "And why do you, by your tradition, violate the direct commandments of God? For instance, God says, honor your father and mother, and anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father or mother must be put to death. But you say it is all right for people to say to their parents, sorry, I cannot help you, for I have vowed to give to God what I would have given to you. In this way, you say they don't need to honor their parents, and so you cancel the word of God for the sake of your own traditions." Wow. Can you imagine that?
Yes. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. And I just want to read another part when it's part 9. You read, what did you read? 3-6. So
yes.
This is after that it says, that can hardly be called respecting a parent. You cancel God's command by your rules. Frauds, Isaiah's prophecy of you hit the bullseye. These people make a big show of saying the right thing, but their heart isn't in it. They act like they're worshiping me, but they don't mean it. They just use me as a cover. for teaching whatever suits their fancy. Amen.
Amen.
They're doing what they want to do, saying that we're, you know, we're given to God so they don't have to give to their parents. And so if they don't give to their parents, who's going to take care of them?
Exactly.
Their parents are going to be destitute and undomiciled. Amen.
Amen.
Unless they're rich, and even then, at some point or other, the, you know, the children need to help with the parents.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Let's go on to section F, pride, Matthew 20:20-28, and Luke 14:7-11. Pride of position or seeking places of honor has no place in the life of the true servant. First of all, what is pride?
Pride? Pride is when you, you know, is, okay, it's like when people tell you to do something and you don't want to do it, you want to do what you want to do and not what they ask you to do. So you like, you know, you're all prideful and hold your head up in the air like you're better than the next person.
That's pride?
Well, I guess maybe not.
Okay. Let's take a look at Matthew 20:28.
Okay.
God bless you.
Matthew, I'm sorry. Yeah, pride. Matthew 20:28. Jesus teaches about serving others. Then the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus with her sons. She knelt respectfully to ask a favor. What is your request? He asked. She replied, in your kingdom, please let my two sons sit in place of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left. But Jesus answered by saying to them, you don't know what you are asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I am about to drink? Oh, yes, they replied. We are able. Yeah, right. Jesus told them, you will indeed drink from my bitter cup, but I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. My Father has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen. Right. When the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. But Jesus called them together and said, you know that the ruler in this world, Lord over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many.
For many. Hallelujah. And let's take a look at Luke. Luke 14:7-11.
Luke 14:15. 14. 7-11. Okay. Jesus teaches about humility.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus noticed that all who had come to the dinner were trying to sit in the seats of honor near the head of the table, he gave them this advice. When you are invited to a wedding feast, don't sit in the seat of honor.
Mm.
What if someone who is more distinguished than you has also been invited? The host will come and say, give this person your seat. Then you'll be embarrassed and you will have to take whatever seat is left at the foot of the table. Instead, take the lowest place at the foot of the table. Then when your host sees you, he will come and say, friend, we have a better place for you. Then you will be honored in front of all the other guests. For those who exalt themselves will be humble, and those who humble themselves will be exalted.
Praise God. That is a wonderful phrase.
Because, you know, you got a lot of people in the world today, they always want to sit at the head of the table. Nobody wants to sit at the foot. But here Jesus is telling them, when you humble yourself, meaning you sit at the foot of the table. So when the host
takes the lower position,
then he will notice
the lower position.
Yes.
Take the humble position.
Right.
And so we're talking about pride in this. Can you see what pride is from what you just read?
Oh, when they want to be up in front of everything instead of, you know, be humble and lower themselves down to the bottom.
Praise God.
He who is first will be last, and he and the last will be first.
Shall be first, exactly.
So let me be the last, so that way I'll be, when the time comes, I'll be first.
Then you can be exalted and not embarrassed when the host comes and says.
Embarrassed in front of everybody.
And then the host comes and says, Hilda, you're in so-and-so seat. You know, I got one for you back there, you know. So pride is when we make assumptions about things, not always assumptions, but when you want to kind of exalt yourself and take credit for something and, you know, think you own all that when you're not, allow whoever's in charge to place you where they want to place you. That's why in many churches, when guest preachers come in, they will sit in the back. You know, they don't make the assumption that they're going to be sitting on the front pew or that they will even be invited to come on the podium. They sit humbly in the back until they are recognized, acknowledged, and then invited to come to the front. So pride is when you overestimate your importance, all right? You have people that have children that they're very proud of. And some say being proud is not the same as pride. The devil is a liar. That's the same thing. All right? So when you are prideful, that means you think you've done it all by yourself. Oh, I did this. I got your chest stuck out, your head reared back, and taking credit for something that God has done.
Amen.
Get down off of your soapbox and really get down on your knees and thank God for doing it. So pride is when we overestimate our own importance or what we've done to be so big, you know, that nobody else can say, I did it too, because you taking all the credit. I did that. I made this. I bought that. I
yes.
did it. You know?
Exactly. You got some people
right.
like that too. Oh,
I know
did
it.
This
I know
by myself. But you know
right.
what
and
I don't like
that.
Is when somebody does something nice for you, and then they got to brag about what they did for you and throw it back in your face. Well, I did this for
oh,
you, and
boy.
I did. Yo, boy, there goes that pride.
Yeah, that's they're boasting and
yes.
they really telling everybody else that if there's anybody else around, that they
mm-hmm.
did the thing for you, you did it for yourself.
Exactly.
Let the recipient of that gift be the one to be saying, oh, so-and-so did this for me. Isn't this wonderful, lovely, great, grand, whatever? You
exactly.
know? As opposed
yes.
to you're doing something and now you want to tell the world that you did it for somebody less fortunate
mm-hmm.
than yourself. And they don't have to be less fortunate. Just that they needed something and you could provide it. And now you want to
thank
let everybody
you.
Know you did it. That's not being humble. That's not
nope.
humble. There's a scripture also that says, don't let your left hand know what your right
what?
Hand has done.
Amen.
When you do something, you don't have to tell everybody about it.
That's right.
It will be evident.
Right.
It will be evidence, and the one that you did it for might,
yeah.
and they might not, but they might give you the credit and say, definitely, God is in this.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Exactly.
God did it for
Amen.
Me. God made a way for me.
Yes.
Amen. So that's pride. That's pride. Let's take a look at G,
mm-hmm.
being a stumbling block. What do you think that means?
A stumbling block is when you, you're blocking somebody from doing something good and you're telling them
right.
not to. Okay.
Well, you're getting in there.
You're hindering the person from doing, let's say they could be doing something for God or, you know, or helping somebody and you're telling them, oh, you don't need to do that. You know,
mm-hmm.
I know. Your heart and no, you're,
right.
you're putting a stumbling block in front of that person from doing
right
you know, because you don't even know if God told that person to do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you're causing them to sin if they
yes.
don't do it. So you can't listen to every preacher, every not saying
exactly.
you're supposed to be disobedient and disrespectful, but if
mm-hmm.
the Lord lays something in your heart to do it. Don't let somebody else dissuade you from doing it. God
exactly.
gave me this mission. I'm on a mission for God. You can say
right.
what you want to say, but I'm doing what the Lord let. And sometimes that person will look foolish or silly or, why are you putting
yeah.
all your money into this? Because God directed me to do this. And
exactly.
I take pleasure in
yeah.
pleasing him if he pleases me. All right?
Amen.
So, being a stumbling block, Matthew 18 and 6,
mm-hmm.
we're going to see where it says, doing something that might cause others to sin is itself a sin, all right?
Okay.
So if they've been told to do something and you say, oh, you don't, child, please, you don't have to do that. But somebody
mm-hmm.
directed them, God directed them to do it. And for you to tell them, no, they don't, that's a stumbling block. You're going to cause
yes.
them to sin. And
Amen.
You're sinning when you tell them, they can sin. So let's look at 18 and 6.
Okay. 18 and 6 says, this is Jesus speaking. He said, but if you cause one of these little ones who trust in me to fall into sin, it would be better for you to have a large millstone tied around
mm-hmm.
your neck and be drowned mm-hmm. in the depths of the sea. Wow.
Right.
So
and I'll just continue to
hinder a person from doing what God has told them to do.
Right. And then they have sayings in church too is, if you don't want to praise him, don't hinder me.
Exactly.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to praise him, don't try to tell me to sit down, child, don't take all of that. No.
Yep, exactly.
Don't hinder me. Don't try to stop me from praising God.
And you know, a lot of the old people in the church, you know, they're good for that. You there praising God, and they turning around looking at you like you ain't got no sense. You can't tell the Holy Spirit that's inside of you not to praise God. If that spirit is in you, you don't have no control.
Right. If it's real, if it's real, because some people put on a show and they not.
Oh, yeah, I know. I've seen a couple of those.
So,
running up and down the aisle like they ain't got no sense.
Yeah, but when it's real,
but you
don't
know
try to hinder me.
When the person is in the spirit and when they're acting.
Usually you can. And this is the second part that says, doom to the world for giving these God-believing children a hard time. Hard times are inevitable, but you don't have to make it worse. And it's doomsday to you if you do. So hard times are going to happen, but you don't have to make it worse by steering these children the wrong way. Don't put a stumbling block in their way. Don't try to stop them. If they want to praise the Lord, if they want to sing, shout, roll on the floor, scream, run, don't try to stop them. Get out of their way. They're praising the Lord. Praising the Lord.
Because children are very trusting. And, you know, and they listen to everything that you're saying. And sometimes they mimic you, you know, like what's her name, Shirley Caesar used to do when she was a little girl. And she sung that in her song. And her mother told her, when the sister came in and told her, Mama, what's her name, Shirley's out there doing it again. She said, Mama went to the door and looked at her. She said, no, baby, she ain't playing this time.
Not playing this time. Right? Mm-hmm. When her brother was a preacher, and she used to laugh at him, and put on phony shouting and all of that kind of stuff. And it hit her one day, and her mama looked outside after, like you say, the sister's looking, Shirley doing it again. And she had to recognize, no, this time, my child is real.
Oh yeah, the Holy Spirit got a hold on her.
My God, that's a beautiful song. It is a beautiful song. And then this is disloyalty, Matthew 8:19-22, putting comforts or even proper duties before loyalty to Christ is sin. Let me read that again: putting comforts or even proper duties for loyalty to Christ is a sin. What does that mean to you, if anything?
Well, it means like, you know, you are putting what is important to you in front of God. No, sometimes we got to stop and examine ourselves. Is this in the will of God, or is it necessary for me to do this first and then do what God has for me? No, you do what God has asked you to do. You don't be disloyal to him. But he comes first, because he's the one that causes us to have everything that we have.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And some people are, you know, so busy. Oh, I'll do that later. You know, I'll talk about God. No. You're supposed to put him first, because if you don't put him first, you may not have the life to do what you want to do first, and then coming back to him. Put him first. Nobody said you got to stay in it for an hour or three or four, but do something to reverence him before you start.
Yes.
Before you start. Be loyal to him. And like I said, it's no time limit on it. It can be, you know, 2 seconds, thank you, Jesus, and going about your day.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Even like when, like, you don't even have to pray a long prayer. You could wake up in the morning, get down on your knees and say, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. And that's all you need. You know?
That's all you need.
Exactly.
And you don't have to get on your knees. That would be nice if you do. But you can just lie on your back or sit on the side of your bed and say the same thing.
Yes, because if I get down there on my knees, I can't get back up.
Well, then stop doing that. No, don't do that.
Yo.
That's how to put a summoning block in your way. That's how to put a summoning block in your way. But if it's hard to do it, then maybe that's not for you to continue doing.
Exactly. Trust
so
me.
Let's look at disloyalty, Matthew 8, 19 through 22.
Okay. 19 says, so Jesus and his disciples got up and went with him. Just then, a woman who had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding came behind him. She touched the fringe of his robe, for she thought, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be encouraged. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was healed at that moment. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
See, she didn't even touch the whole robe. You don't even, as long as just the fringe of it, just the tail piece of it.
Exactly.
And she was healed.
Just to him. Because why do you think that was so?
Because the power was, it was because the spirit of God is all over Jesus. So even if his shadow passed by you, you are healed. Because
and she believed. She had faith.
Yes.
She prayed for 12 years. And never had the opportunity to meet Jesus. But her faith was so powerful that she said, if I could but just touch the hem of his garments, I believe I'll be... Her faith. And yes, there was power in his very shadow. There's power in his garment and him and his leg. And his foot. So
her faith
caused her... to be delivered, to be healed.
Yes.
Praise God. Oh, my God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my God. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
12 years she had spent every dime she had going back and forth to doctors.
To the doctors, and none could help her.
Nope.
None could help her.
None
just that
them.
Slight touch. She had to get down on her knees and crawl through the crowd.
Through the crowd.
He didn't even see her face. But he knew somebody had caused virtue to come out of his body. And he looked around and his disciples, he said, who touched me? And they say, Jesus, please God, you're in a crowd, man. What's up? Listen, I know where I am, but somebody touched me. I feel the virtue has left my body. So relax, disciples.
Mm.
All right? Relax, apostles.
Yes.
I know what I'm doing. Praise the Lord.
God.
Beautiful. So we got to look at immorality. What is immorality?
Immorality. I know what it is, but how
tell
to
me.
Put it? Immorality.
Morality. Not moral. What is being moral? Morality.
Is being, okay, let me see how I can say that.
You know that one too, just put it into words. If you can.
No.
Okay.
But
being moral
is, tell me
is
what
following,
it is.
I'm trying. Being moral is following God. You know the wrong thing, you know the right thing, but you choose to do the right thing. You have morals. There's certain things you will never do because you know it's not right. Amen? You're following God. You're following Jesus. So you have morals. You're not seen in certain places because those are like dens of sin.
Yes.
All right? You wouldn't be caught in those places because it's not moral. Immorality is I don't care. I'll be wherever I need to be, wherever I want to be. I don't care what it looks like, who's got something to say about it, you know, and I'm going to do what I want to do, all right, because it makes me feel good. All right. I know it's against God. I know it doesn't look right, doesn't smell right, sound right, taste right. It doesn't look right, but I'm doing me. I'm doing me.
Yeah.
And so many people say that. I'm doing me.
Yeah, what is
doing me?
I always wonder
what they want to do.
Doing
me is doing what they choose to do, what they're big enough, grown enough, bad enough, old enough, bold enough to do, and think that nobody's watching.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's watching. And the ones that are watching, it's none of your business.
Exactly.
But God is watching.
That's
you can see me. Hide from me and sneak here and sneak there, but God is watching.
Yes,
right?
He is. That's why every time when a lot of times when I got on the bus and I went through the back of the bus because you couldn't get in the front of the bus, but when the bus got a little bit empty and I went up to the front, so I paid my fare.
Mm-hmm.
And people look at you, why did you pay? You already was yes. But see, people don't care what you do or if you pay or not. But God cares because he sees me.
And guess
if
what?
I don't pay, it bothers me. It really bothers me.
And you know who does care? MTA cares. Because you stole a ride.
Well, now, since the pandemic, they really don't care. They because the bus driver told me that they told them, don't bother them, just let them get on, whether they pay or they don't pay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they're losing money like that. He said,
that's
what we were told, and I'm just doing my job. Because I had asked him, why is it that you allow the people to continue getting on the bus without paying? He said, well, that's what they told them, you know, just let them get on. Don't argue with them, you know. And that's what they normally do.
Right, I understand that. But what I'm saying, that's what they're doing now, but you're still robbing MTA. And I bet they do care. But they don't want the driver to get shot, kicked, killed, slashed, or whatever because somebody didn't come on and pay their $2.75 or their $1.35 or whatever it is. So they're telling them that it's not worth it.
Nope.
It's not worth it. The bus is going to go on the route whether it's being people are paying it there or not. So don't get into a personal thing with these people because some of these people are out to hurt somebody, all right?
So
you see in the news where this morning, I know it's true, where somebody spat on the driver, on the bus driver.
That's terrible.
And then, of course, they took the driver off the bus, I guess. I didn't hear the whole story. But he was okay. I mean, it was spit. It wasn't like, you know.
Yeah, but they still, I'll go straight to the hospital.
They took him off the bus, and they made sure that he was okay. I don't know if he went to the hospital or not. I'll probably hear the rest of the story at some later point tonight or whenever. But he was okay. So he resumed, you know, his position. He went back.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was on the same bus or a different bus. But I'm saying, I don't even know. This is like 8 o'clock this morning. What are you sitting on the driver for? What do you say? And if you said that rule is what they're now honoring, that you can pay or not pay because they don't want the people to be confronted and lose their life, you know, then what is all of this about? But anyway,
let's
say something about the hospital.
No, I was saying that I would have left if they took me off. I'd have just went straight to the hospital and take all kind of test because you got people who have, you know, these diseases.
Yeah.
And because they're mad because they have that disease, so they get angry and they'll spit on other people and transmit the germs, the disease to them.
Right. So he was checked out. I guess it was a he. I say he. He was checked out and he was all right. And he was doing his responsibility of working. Thank God, right?
Yeah.
Thank God for that. And I just pray for this mental health, because you got so many people out there. They just, they don't have any hope. They don't have Jesus.
They
don't care what happens to their fellow man, and they don't care what happens to themselves. And some of them are trying to get arrested so that they can go to jail and get 3 hots and a cot. They need a home.
That is true.
I know it's true. That's why I'm saying it. Evangelist Hilda, if I say it, I believe it to be true. So I'm glad you agree. But I know it's true. That's why I said it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was just
agreeing. So anyway, I know you were, but I know it's true. That's why I brought it out.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're going to go on with this. And that's a sad thing, that they'd rather go to jail than go and sweep up somebody's yard, or you know what I'm saying, for the supermarket and make a few dollars here and there. They'd rather do something like that and end up in jail. But thank God he didn't try to hurt him, you know.
Exactly.
They didn't try to physically harm them, but it was traumatic, because I'm sure this driver is going to be leery anytime somebody comes so close to them, because you just don't know.
Right. And that's why they put up those high plastic shields. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he didn't have one on that bus.
The perpetrator got around it some kind of way, because the driver can extend his hand out.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway. We'll find out later, God willing, the whole details of the story, I guess. So let's go on to Jay. Fruitlessness.
We didn't read 5:27. Yeah.
Oh, 27-32. I'm sorry. Matthew 5:27-32. Thank you. Matthew
5:27. Okay. 27 is Jesus teaches about lust. He said, "You have heard the commandment that says, you must not commit adultery. But I say, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So if your eye, even your good eye, causes you to lust, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your hand, even your stronger hand, causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell." 32. Okay. So Jesus teaches about divorce. "You have heard the law that says a man can divorce his wife by merely giving her a written notice of divorce. But I say that a man who divorces his wife, unless she has been unfaithful, causes her to commit adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman also commits adultery." So why you think he said that?
That anyone who commits adultery, what? Say that again?
He said, "But I say that a man who divorces his wife, unless she has been unfaithful, causes her to commit adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman also commits adultery."
Right. So when a person is legally able to divorce because one or the other has done something wrong, and usually it's the man saying, I divorced thee three times to the woman, and that made it right in those days for them to separate. But the only way she could get rid of him was if he died,
right,
to my knowledge. Right, so he had to die for her to be able to have another husband. But when whoever divorces his wife, I'm reading it, let him do it legally, giving her divorce papers and her legal rights. Too many of you are using that as a cover for selfishness and whim, pretending to be righteous just because you are legal. Please, no more pretending. If you divorce your wife, you're responsible for making her an adulteress, unless she has already made herself that by sexual promiscuity. And if you marry such a divorced adulteress, meaning her husband is still alive, you're automatically an adulterer yourself. You can't use legal cover to mask a moral failure. And again, in those days, the only way a wife could leave him is if he died. But the man had the power of saying it three times, as in the days of Moses. For whatever reason, I was supposed to be on the whim, like you're tired of her. Your hair looks flat today. I don't want to, you know, just do it on a whim. It needed to be some reason, you know, some sincere reason behind it. And that way, when she got to the next suitor, she can marry him without being considered a promiscuous adulterer. Amen.
Right. Amen.
Does that help with the answer?
Yes.
Your question, amen. So,
Jay.
Sure. So this is a sin committed in the body, in the heart, or in the marriage. Immorality. As we see with the marriage, if you do something and the other spouse is still living, that's an immoral sin. Coming from the ancient world. Today, I mean, look at Kim Kardashian. I forgot what marriage it was, but they divorced each other in like 72 days. So,
yeah, that's what they do.
I don't know what the story was behind that, but anyway, they had to separate. And they did. Okay.
Yes.
So now we got like 2 minutes, and I just wanted to, I'll close it right here. It right here. We don't have a homework assignment.
Thank God.
Tonight. I thought you'd like that.
I know.
We're ending at day. I hope you got something out of this lesson.
Oh, I surely did. It was a beautiful lesson. And then, I learned a lot about pride and being a stumbling block and disloyalty to God, you know, all because of pride and all of that. So it was a beautiful lesson tonight.
Praise the Lord.
I really enjoyed it. Especially,
I enjoyed you too. You had some information that was wonderful. Information. When you're ready, you can take us out in prayer.
Father God, again, we come to you as humbly as we know how, giving you glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for all that was said tonight. We thank you for opening up our minds and our hearts and to our ears to receive, to hear what thus says the Lord. And we thank you for that, Lord God. We thank you for life. We thank you for strength, health, wisdom, and understanding. We thank you for waking us up this morning, clothing our right minds, healing in our bodies, Lord God. We thank you for our families, our friends, and even our enemies, Lord God. We thank you for everything that you're doing. We thank you for all of our needs, Lord God, everything that we need, you said in your word that you would give it to us, Lord God. You would provide us with all of our needs. We thank you for a roof over our head, food on our tables, and clothes on our backs, Lord God. We thank you for healing those in the hospital who needed a healing. We thank you for healing those in the prison cells that needed a word to hear from the from you, Lord God. We thank you for our young people, Lord God. We ask that you watch over them, bless them, protect them, and keep them safe from all harms and dangers, Lord God, and guide them, Lord God, in the way that you would have them to go, Lord God. Keep them away from all the evil things that's going on in the world today, Lord God. And thank you for this program that we are able to come on every day to speak your word, to pray for those who need prayers, Lord God. And just being encouragement to each and every one of us, to each other, for praying for one another, Lord God. We pray more for others than we do for ourselves, Lord God. Thank you for that, Lord God. We love you. We honor and adore you. And we thank you in the mighty name of your son, Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that dwells inside us to guide us where you would have us to go, Lord God. Bless Apostle Mother Wiggins. Strengthen her, Lord God. Heal her where she needs to be healed, Lord God. We ask that you bless Virginia. Strengthen her. Heal her where she needs to be healed, Lord God, that she'll be able to come back home and be with her family. Lord God, we just ask that you touch each and every one of us. Bless our teacher for tonight, Lord God. Strengthen her and keep on encouraging her and guiding her that she will continue to do your work, Lord God, and to help us who don't know certain things, Lord God, that she could, is an encouragement that she makes us open up our minds to just think about what the word means, Lord God, and what the writer is saying. Jesus, we thank you for her, Lord God. We thank you for our pastor and first lady. Bless them. Bless their homes. Bless their families, Lord God. And we just encourage them, Lord God, and continue. Bless the deacon and deaconess, Lord God. Strengthen their unity, Lord God, and guide them where you would have them to go. And let your will, Lord God, be done in each and every one of our lives. And we ask this in the mighty name of your son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen, amen, and amen. To God be the
Lord. I just want to add, don't leave out Jacob. And Reverend Price. I know you can't say all of them, but Stephen and Valerie, all of them, Father God.
All of them, Lord God. Everyone that is connected to the
house of the Lord. We have admitted, take it from our heads, not from our hearts. But bless them all, Father God. And as I said already, as Evangelist Hilda has already said, thank you for strength, health, encouragement, Father God.
Lord God. The Holy thank Spirit. You.
All these blessings, we ask in the name of your precious son, Jesus. Thank you, God.
And thank you, God. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I didn't mean to come in at, you know, at
I was trying to get everything in, but, you know, sometimes, like, when you know what you want to say, but it just,
sometimes,
like,
you forget. You forget.
Yes, exactly. Come on now, as young as it used to be.
It's all right.
I normally say, Lord, if I have forgotten anyone or anything, please don't hold it to my heart.
Right. He knows your heart.
Yes.
He knows your heart. Thank you for a wonderful time. Huh?
I said I managed to get Mother in there. I don't know, she was kind of on my mind.
Great. I have to call her. I didn't call her yet. I want to, since she came home, I need to call her and just see how she's doing, you know. How's your daughter doing?
Well, right now she's not doing as well as I had hoped she would, but she's hanging in there, you know, she's trying. So now she's called the agency today to get her a home attendant.
Okay.
You know, I can't run back and forth over there. And her son is in school. He started school yesterday. Yeah, because her normally she takes him to school the first day, you know, to meet his teachers and, you know, see how the school and everything is. But because she was sick and she's still sick, so she's not able to do all the things that she was doing before. So now he took the day off yesterday. And he went with him and met with his teachers. Yes. And
what grade is the son in?
What is it? He's 15, so that's what, ninth grade or 10th?
Okay, so he's in high school maybe.
Yes, in high school. Because, yes, he just graduated from junior high. Because he goes to charter schools, so I don't know how they operate.
Okay, so he's in high school or something like that, probably high school.
Yes,
excellent.
High school starts from 9, 10, 11, and 12. No, junior. Yeah, 9, 10, and 11, 4 years of high school, yes. So he's in high school, thank God. You know.
Wonderful.
And
I wish him well. And, of course,
your
daughter.
I do, too, because he's going to, what's that school, it's on 135th Street and Broadway. It's the School of the Arts.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay,
I forgot.
I don't know that
one. Just told me the name of the school, but I forgot.
Okay. Not Alvin Ailey.
No, not that one. The other. It's another one.
Okay. I don't know that one. It's probably new to me because I used to live in Harlem.
Yeah. On Broadway?
No, I lived on Fifth Avenue.
Oh, okay. So the school he going to.
If you find out the name of it, let me know.
It's just
a conversation.
Yeah.
Conversation. But that's great.
Yeah.
I wish him well. I wish him well.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
I have to, you know, give him a little pep talk because now you're in a higher grade and you're in a different school. And, you know, your schoolwork and everything comes first before, you know, your playing and stuff because you know that your mother can't run behind you and do the things that you were doing when she was walking. You know, she keeps them in check. The father just let him muck. But she's the one that, you know, she keeps him grounded.
Okay, well, charter school will do that for him, too. They don't play.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, they'll help.
Oh, yeah.
They'll be a big help.
I think they're tougher than the Catholic schools.
Like, I think so.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's wonderful. I'm glad. And everybody's in our prayers, as I always tell you, you know.
Yeah, continue to keep us all lifted up because we need all the prayers we can get.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Okay. Yes. Love you.
God bless you.
Have a good
love you too.
Okay.
You too. Hugs and kisses. Shalom. Till the next time. Tomorrow, I guess, right?
Yes.
God willing. Okay.
God's willing and we're able. So tomorrow.
Amen. Amen.
At 7.
Praise God. Have a blessed one.
You too. Them.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Thank you.
And on that note, we are ending this episode.